Welcome to A Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind.
Everything from shopping to decorating to books and movies for our favorite holiday season. Christmas can be quite nostalgic for so many of us, whether it's the traditions or songs or aromas or ornaments, all can trigger memories and feelings. Atlanta documentarian and broadcast engineer Jeff Carter joins Ricky Meese coming up to talk about the power of nostalgia. But first, some Christmas news. I'm Mary Richards. A new survey says those who are hosting a gathering will make it different this year. 30% plan on setting up a mandatory temperature check at the front door for their guests. 54% plan on enforcing strict social distancing rules. In warmer places, they'll have the party outside. 40% will just keep it virtual. People are finished getting their Christmas gifts early. LendingTree says 25% of Americans have already finished their holiday shopping. And parents with kids, it's up to 44%. Though many worry about finances, 31% of people believe they will get some debt this season. Speaking of shopping, Mattel is forecasting a lot of growth. They're rushing to restock Barbie dolls and other toys in high demand from stuck-at-home kids, play sets and games and puzzles, all very popular. Visiting Santa at the mall will be a little different than we're used to. Brookfield Properties says it will have a touchless experience with Santa, which means no sitting on Santa's lap. He might be behind a big picture frame or something like that. But there will be no Santa at all at Macy's for the first time in nearly 160 years. More than 250,000 people go to see Santa at Macy's in New York each year. Long crowded lines through Santa Land. They felt that just wouldn't be safe. But Santa is still scheduled to appear at the end of the televised Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. You can get your Christmas tree delivered before Halloween. Lowe's is offering a Christmas tree delivery service for the first time ever. They say that online orders can start October 30th for their fresh cut trees, wreaths, and tree containers. That's Christmas news. Here's Ricky Meese.
Take a walk with me down memory lane. What's something that triggers a reminiscent moment for you? Is it hearing a favorite holiday song on the radio? Maybe it's the tastes and aromas of Grandma's Christmas recipes shared only on the family holiday dinner table and seen and eaten only once a year. Or how about those vintage Christmas ornaments and heirloom decorations, a family tradition, even memories of the Christmas pageant at church that you saw every season. With a hobby in General Electric Christmas history and a wealth of knowledge and experience on a variety of holiday projects, Jeff Carter joins me again on another episode of the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast. And this time, we're talking about the power of nostalgia. Jeff, thanks again for joining me. And tell everybody once again a reminder about yourself.
Okay, well, basically, my day job is I am a broadcast engineer in Atlanta. I have always liked Christmas. I grew up loving Christmas even as a kid and got started very early. I think part of it was my dad's birthday was actually Christmas Day, so he kind of, you know, helped me along with that. And it's something that I've loved as a hobby, and I have, you know, picked up one. I speak at the Christmas Expo each year about Christmas history and involved in the Golden Glow of Christmas Past organization, and it's kind of a hobby that I love. And I'm also, speaking of the General Electric Christmas history, I'm also in the process of producing a documentary, which I hope to get out pretty soon. So, yeah, it's really a fun hobby that I'm taking on to the next level, I hope.
Well, I know when we talked about the General Electric history of lights on our earlier podcast, that received a lot of traction and a lot of good reviews, and people were very interested. So I will put in a plug. If you haven't heard that one yet, go back and listen to that episode of the Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast, the GE Christmas Lights History. All right, let's dive right in. Just a little bit of a background. You know, the Christmas stuff had to start with you somewhere, particularly in lighting. And I just hit a few highlights. The Christmas of 1882 with Edward Johnson's lighted Christmas tree. Christmas 1924. And I want to say, am I saying this right? Nela Park, that was lighted.
Yep.
And that's in Cleveland, also known for the Christmas Story House. In 1936, Neyland Park gave us the drive-through display experience, and I think that kind of led to families hopping into the car and driving around to see the Christmas lights as a family tradition. All of these events have led up to many of today's Christmas trends and collections because of nostalgia. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that. As I said earlier in my intro, I speak a lot at the Christmas Expo, and I talk about history and trends in Christmas decorating and again, nostalgia. And I like to affectionately refer to the Christmas Expo as the Clark Griswold Boot Camp. I mean, these are the people who are in the Great Christmas Lights Fight. They are the ones who take all the LED lights and hook up to computers and sync them with music and do all these over-the-top displays. And when I talk to them about history and talk to them about, you know, nostalgia, to a person, everybody started this because, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, I helped my dad out lighting the front porch with the incandescent C9s, or, you know, my dad and I, we made one of the popular mechanics, the plywood cutout displays and did in the yard, or, you know, we drove around. It was always that house in the neighborhood. So even what fuels people today is what they remember as a kid.
So how do you describe Christmas nostalgia, and why are we so caught up in it?
Well, I go back to the dictionary definition of nostalgia, which is nostalgia is a wistful desire to return in thought or in fact to a former time in one's life, to one's home or homeland, or to one's family or friends. It's a sentimental yearning for the happiness of a former place and time. And all of that happens around Christmas. When I looked at the power of nostalgia, I looked at nostalgia in marketing. These are the people who are retailers who are trying to, sell a product. And they're finding this as nostalgia is a very, very good way to market, because it really helps connect people. And when target marketers are looking, when marketers are looking to target something nostalgia, they look at the target market and they find out what was going on in their target market's life between the time they were 6 and 16. And that is the time span of when a lot of our core values were established, a lot of our memories were established. And generally, if you look back at that time in our life, for the most part, it was a time where it was much more peaceful and at ease with us. I mean, we had a roof over our house. We didn't worry about, you know, where our next meal was coming from. You know, we didn't have all the adult issues. We were just a kid. We were enjoying life. And I think that is something when life is not going as well, or when we have, you know, like we're going through right now, like a national pandemic, and people are having, or a war breaks out or something like that, they tend to get nostalgic because it takes them psychologically back to a time when things were much more simple in their life.
Yeah. Now, of course, a lot of us realize that nostalgia is a psychological and emotional escape for many of us, but it goes further than that for some people who choose to keep that feeling alive, and they look for vintage items and things to create those feelings to keep it alive today, right? We see it around us all the time.
Yes, especially as someone who collects, you know, vintage Christmas in the lighting aspect. You see this on eBay around October to December. The prices go through the roof.
That's
because
true.
People are wanting to connect. I mean, try to find a decent aluminum Christmas tree today under to about $200, and good luck. I mean, because people are trying to connect with their past. It's a comfort thing.
Yeah. Now,
Christmas as a season, it's a season of coming back together with family, of memories. I mean, it's really a holiday built on nostalgia. So these play right hand in hand.
In your own words and from your research, why is nostalgia so powerful? I mean, it really grips us in many ways, whether we're aware mm-hmm. of it or not.
Yeah, it does, because couple of things nostalgia does. And this is science. This is what psychologists have found out. It improves one's mood. and it heightens positive emotions. It also increases our sense of social connectedness. It helps us feel better about ourselves. And it really, as I said, it helps provide existential meaning, which is, you know, really powerful.
Well, from then to today, what areas now do we see these nostalgic and vintage trends in music, in decorative items, in family traditions? I recently had the chance to interview Rick Goldschmidt, who is the historian of Rankin Bass, and that is the production company that brought us those wonderful childlike productions that we grew up with watching on TV. The Little Drummer Boy, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Rankin Bass made childhood spectacular on TV for us at Christmas time, and Rick has taken on the toll of preserving that history. But where do you see that nostalgia is coming through in our lives today, particularly during the holidays?
Well, let's pick up on that. If you look at the most popular Christmas TV specials of last year, and keep in mind, all these are available on DVD, so we can pop it in any time. But we look at Nielsen, who takes a look at the who watches TV. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was number one last year, and it brought in nearly 14 million viewers who tuned into television to watch it. And following that was the Charlie Brown Christmas, then the Grinch Who Stole Christmas, Frosty the Snowman, another Rankin Bass production. And this was an interesting one. The I Love Lucy Christmas special. Basically, they took an episode of I Love Lucy, they colorized it,
wow,
and they just re-aired it. And that's from 1956. And it got 7 million viewers.
Wow.
So we're really looking for ways to connect us, you know, from our childhood. I mean, in all these TV specials that are in the top five are from 1969 and sooner, or earlier.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's
a little crazy.
And you go back and look at music. I mean, I work at the radio station in Atlanta that flips to Christmas music every Christmas, and everybody has one of those in their market. Well, if you look at the according to Billboard, if you look at the top five most played Christmas songs of last year were from the 1960s. And only of the top 10, the newest releases were only from 35 years ago. And I'll go through them. I mean, All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey was number one. That was one of the newer ones from 84.
Yeah, yeah. She
then
hit top.
Andy Williams.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's Andy Williams, The Most Wonderful Time of Year, from the 60s, and Jingle Bell Rock, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and then Holly Jolly Christmas of Burl Ives. I mean, that's just top five. And if you keep on going through the top 10, it's the Christmas Song from 53. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, this is a Gene Autry version from 1949. A newer one was Last Christmas from Wham. Then Dean Martin, Let It Snow, and then running out the top 10 was Here Comes Santa Claus and Gene Autry. So people, when they connect with Christmas, they like the tradition. They like what was from their childhood.
I have to insert that a new remixed version of Bing Crosby was released last year with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. When that CD came out, and I will download some Christmas music, but I do prefer a hard copy with CD. I knew I was going to own that CD. And once I got that music, I knew I was going to be super critical. I knew my judgment may be a little bit, you know, off. It may not be too fair, but they did a very, very good job of it. There's only one song on there that I didn't care for. And of all the songs, it's White Christmas, but it's it's mixed with a modern group, but they put two versions of White Christmas on there. So I found that odd, but they found a perfect blend of enhancing without overdoing and taking away. So it was really good for those who are Bing Crosby fans. So marketers, as we've talked about, they know exactly how strong nostalgia can fuel the sales of a product or service. And I know in recent years, I've seen a huge uptick of reproductions of vintage Christmas items that were popular, especially between 1960 and 1980. Like, I don't know if you remember those lighted ceramic Christmas trees that people actually used to have to go to the ceramic store and make and buy the lights. But now you can find reproductions at Hobby Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that came to mind is Tim Allen in the Santa Claus movie, where he's courting the future Mrs. Claus, and they're at the gym with the school holiday party, and no one is having fun. And out of his bag of tricks, he starts bringing out all these vintage toys that those people would have grown up with, the Rock'em Sock'em robots, mm-hmm. and all of that. So marketers do know exactly what they're doing. So how do you feel that they're going to continue with this in the future, and how are they doing it now?
Well, it goes back to that they're looking at their target market audience and looking at what happened between the ages of 6 and 16 and what happened then. I mean, you almost see a progression with this first the 50s and the 60s and 70s, and you see some of the 80s things coming out now. And that's what they're playing off of. I mean, if you see the little ceramic Christmas tree, I know my grandmother had one of those, and I have it now. And if you watch, again, as a collector, you know, most of the time, you know, collectors are talking to other collectors and they find stuff at yard sales. But as I said, between October and December, people perked up and went, I remember that. And the ceramic Christmas tree, I mean, good luck finding one of those. I mean, the newer ones, but also the older ones. The older ones, the prices went through the roof last year because it was a demand for it.
Yeah.
And I've seen that with Christmas lighting as well. I mean, there are different kinds. There was a bulb that came out when I was a kid, or before I was a kid, but I remember as a kid, called a lighted ice bulb that GE made, which is a round bulb with ice crystals on it. And that was a bulb that came out in, I believe, 58. GE was still selling that in 1999. Because it was that popular.
Wow.
And people are still trying. The GE doesn't make it anymore, but people are still trying to find it on eBay and yard sales, and it's still one of the most popular ones because we remember that as a kid. I mean, I remember that as a kid because I remember my grandmother had three of them. There were two yellow ones and a white one on her tree, and I always remember those.
Go ahead.
Well, I along with Christmas lighting, is I also had a friend of mine where I had one of the General Electric lighted bells, and I decorated the office one year for it. And he's like, "Oh, I remember that one. My mom has a story about that. She had it on a tree in 1972, and I took my first step towards that light bulb." So, I mean, that's how it. You know, he was hanging on the tree, and he saw it. He's like, "That's where he took his first step."
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, it's connected with everybody. I mean, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I think we should add that when I saw those ceramic trees, and that wasn't the only reproduction that they had available, and it wasn't just at Hobby
right.
Lobby, it was at Lowe's, it was at a variety of stores, and people mm-hmm. were buying them. So I think people need to understand it doesn't matter if it's truly vintage and authentic or if it's a reproduction. If it makes you happy, if it connects you, I think, you know, do what you feel is right for you. So I'm definitely
right.
not saying it has to be an authentic original or reproduction. It doesn't matter. If it lifts you, if it makes you happy, mm-hmm. or if that one organizer says, if it brings you joy, which is perfect around Christmas, then I think it's a fine thing to pick up. It's because it is that touchstone to our past. That's a sentimental reminder. Okay, what about in this digital age? Is it still going strong, or has it taken a bit of a backseat for more modern trends?
Well, I go back to the anecdote at the Christmas Expo with people who are decorating with modern Christmas lighting. You know, all the LEDs and computer animation. And what is driving them, for the most part, is a nostalgic memory. So whether or not, you know, you were taking vintage items or vintage styled items, even if you're using modern items, there's still that nostalgic tug, and there's still the nostalgic reason for doing it. And I think it's still just as strong. I still think that's what's driving things, is because it's a holiday of memories for most people.
Mm. So the same feeling, just different tools. So Jeff, you know, with this year, it's truly been unusual with COVID-19 and all that has come with it. I'm curious to see what this holiday season will see from the effects of the virus. Do you have any kind of predictions if this situation will throw many of us into another deeper, nostalgic holiday season?
I actually think that it will. I mean, if you look at what happened when this COVID-19 first started and we as a country started going lockdown, what happened? I mean, you had Hallmark Channel went to all Christmas specials while we were sitting in home, and that was very popular. We had radio stations that flipped back to all Christmas format because that was popular. The other trend we saw on social media was, hey, everybody, let's put back up our Christmas lights so people can, you know, drive around and look at Christmas lights. So that's something we can do and still socially distance. So, I mean, it's interesting to see how even in the middle of a crisis in February and March and springtime, when people are not thinking about Christmas, how Christmas came back and helped us get through it. The other thing that I think in COVID we got to take a look at, and I'm going to gingerly dance around this because I don't want to be political, but we got to look at, you know, about 6 months before Christmas, we're going into a major election. And no matter which side you're going to be on and no matter which way it goes in the election, you're going to have a good part of the country that's not going to be happy about it. There's not going to be settled about it. There's going to be a lot of uncertainty for people, no matter who wins. So that's going to be at play as well. So I think this is probably going to drive it to be probably one of the most, quote unquote, nostalgic Christmases we've had in quite some time.
So do you think our stress levels drive us more to a deeper nostalgic connection at the holidays?
I think it does, because what we're trying to do, we're trying to a point where it wasn't stressful. I mean, when we were kids, for the most part, it wasn't stressful for us. I mean, we had our own kids' stress, but, you know, nothing like anything else we face as an adult. For the most part, it was always a time of just, you know, this is fun. You know, Santa Claus is coming. I'm going to get that one toy, you know. Yeah, I need to behave, you know, that type of stuff. But it was really a time of joy. And I think when it's uncertain and we're not exactly happy with what's going on in the world, we want to go find comfort. We're all tending towards comfort, and I think there's a lot of aspects of you know, Christmas celebration that bring comfort.
Yeah, we're looking for that relief. Jeff, anything else you want to add about the power of nostalgia that we haven't already covered?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. We've done a good job covering it.
Well,
I
think people can walk away from this after hearing so many good points of maybe not necessarily trying to find more ways of being nostalgic, but at least understanding why it draws us to a different time and place, and knowing that, you know, okay, so I go a little heavy on vintage Christmas things. That's okay. I understand why. And, you know, if it brings me joy, if it makes me happy, that's just part of the spirit of the season. Jeff Carter, I want to thank you once again for joining me on a Sleigh Bells and Mistletoe Christmas podcast. I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope the future holidays are good to you.
Thanks, Ricky.